All right, if you have a Bible, and I hope you do, turn to the book of Galatians. It's our custom at Bethany Baptist Church to go verse by verse in our preaching through entire books of the Bible. So we're in Galatians chapter 3, verses 7 through 9. You can see the verses up there on the screen. If you didn't bring your own copy of God's Word, grab that Bible in the pew rack in front of you, and you can turn straight to page 973. We preach verse by verse through the Bible because we believe that God's Word is our source of authority for all things life and godliness. And we believe that He has caused His Spirit to act in power as the Word is correctly divided. So if you found Galatians chapter 3, verse 7 in your copy of God's Word, and you're willing and able, would you stand one more time out of reverence reading God's holy Word? Galatians chapter 3, verses 7 through 9 should read something like this in your translation. Know then that it is those of faith who are the sons of Abraham. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying, in you shall all the nations be blessed. So then, those who are of faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. Thank you, and you may have your seat. So far in the book of Galatians, we have studied how justification comes by faith, how sanctification comes by faith, how we receive the Spirit by faith. And then this morning, we'll see that those who are a part of God's family are so only by faith. So the word faith is not new to our text, but the idea of a family, a group of people who are the family of God, is introduced in our text this morning. There was a song that we used to sing at Ashland Avenue Baptist Church in Lexington, Kentucky, in our children's church, or Sunday school, if you will. I remember going up those old creaky stairs, the old building, and to the youth room, one of those old rooms that when you danced and sang, if that's okay in Baptist church for children, the whole room would shake when we sang some of these songs. But one song that stands out in particular in relation to our text this morning was this song. Perhaps you know it. Father Abraham had many sons, and many sons had Father Abraham, and I am one of them, and so are you. So let's just praise the Lord. And then the kids went wild. Right arm, left arm, yeah, spinning around, touch the ground, everything. Now, whether or not it was right for us to sing that song, all of the youth in that church, I will leave up for your discretion by the end of our sermon, but I can tell you some people who would absolutely despise some American Baptist children singing that song. It would be the people that Paul is combating, the Judaizers. They would have busted up in that youth group, up in that children's church, said, no, you can't sing this song. You are not children of Abraham. We are. You have no right to sing this song. Stop it, stop it, stop it, stop it. The Judaizers, these false teachers in Galatia, preached and practiced that the only way you can be a part of the family of God is either first by birth, trace your lineage biologically to Abraham. That to be a part of the family of God, you must have the right DNA. Or they allowed for some to become a part of that family, even from among the Gentiles, and maybe in the church of Galatia, but only after they had kept the sign of the covenant, the first sign, circumcision. So no one can sing this song, they would say, unless you either can prove you were born of Abraham or you have begun to fulfill the initiating rites of Old Testament Israel. They would have despised this song. They would have shut it down if they were in charge of that church or of the people in Galatia. And so this morning, Paul comes to correct that false idea, that zeal without true biblical knowledge. So the first part this morning, verse 7, who are the children that make up the family by faith? Is it those who are born of the right ethnic DNA, or those who have kept the law, the initiating ritual of the Old Testament Jewish people? Or is it this? Paul wants us to know this. We need to know this. We need to re-know this. This is how we combat false teaching. This is how we find great assurance if you are indeed a part of the family of faith. Look at verse 7. Know then that it is those of faith who are the sons of Abraham. This is the connection. This is how those who were not biologically of the seed of Abraham could be grafted in as if they were a vine or a plant. The union that makes someone a part of Abraham's family, that is God's blessed family, the ticket, the connection, is faith. And you see, this is the opposite of what the Judaizers were teaching. It was how you were born, or what your parents did to you, or what you might do to yourself, or what you might keep in the law. But he combats that. This is really what he's doing in the whole book of Galatians. No, we must know that those who are truly of the family of Abraham, the sons and daughters, are those who are of faith. Faith, he says later, and before, faith in the true Son of God, the offspring of Abraham, Jesus Christ. Faith in his righteousness, in his works, not in our own, but putting all our hope in Jesus Christ, crucified and resurrected 3 days later. So know then, it is those who are of faith that are the true children of Abraham. He's speaking here in a truer reality, a spiritual sense. You see, because Abraham, if you're not familiar with the Old Testament narrative, picking up in Genesis 12, he had two sons. One, Isaac. Another, Ishmael. They both had his DNA. They're both from his body. But only one of them receives the blessing, because only one of them is of faith. Even from the beginning, it was more than just about where you were born or how you were born or what you do. It was by faith. This is why Isaac follows God. This is why God pursues him. He is a man of faith. Even after Isaac, read Romans chapter 9, Isaac, he himself has two sons. He has Jacob and Esau. Well, we would say on the chart of the family tree, they're both from Abraham. Look, they're both. No. He would say the true sons are not the ones that we can make in the flesh, or by what we do in the flesh, but are those who have saving faith in God's grace, his electing purposes. That's why he says, Jacob I have loved, Esau I have hated. But they're both in Abraham's family. They're both great-grandchildren or grandchildren of Abraham. But no, it is, verse 7, verse, know this. Compare this with Romans chapter 9, verse 1 through 5. It is those of faith who are the sons of Abraham. Even the Gospels open up with this. When it speaks about the divine Son becoming the incarnate man, Jesus Christ, it says this. Listen how it describes what true family of God is, or how you might be part of the family of God. John 1:11 says, Jesus came to his own, and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed, the same word there, faith in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Jesus, the gospel writers, confirm what Paul is saying, because this is what has always been said from the beginning. But these false teachers twisted it, or ignored it, or hardened their heart to this idea. Verse 7, the children, those who are truly saved, those who are truly a part of the family of God, the family of Abraham, are those who are of faith. So you should already begin to be asking, are you a part of that family? I've already described how one might become a part of the family, how they might have assurance of being a part of the family. This is what is most essential. Those who are of faith. Paul himself, the one writing this letter to the Galatians, was one who previously was like these false teachers who insisted that in order to be a part of the family of Abraham, he spent his whole life mission to do that. He spent his whole life hoping on that he was born from the lineage of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. He walked around with his resume. Here is where I was born from. And here's all of the laws I have kept according to the laws, blameless, circumcised on the eighth day. Look at all that I have done. I'm a child of Abraham. But then God opened up his eyes in the face of Jesus to see that all of this resume of who he was born from and what he had done was rubbish, dung. He was not really of the family of Abraham because he was trying to be a part of the family of Abraham by works or by the flesh or by the will of man. But he came to see in the gospel of Christ that in order to become a true son or daughter of Abraham, he must have faith. And his eyes laid hold of Jesus on the road to Damascus. And his trust went from in him and his family and his deeds to ripped up, to shredded. His faith and his hope went into what Jesus had done and who Jesus is. Do you see that? He thought he was of the family of Abraham, but he spent his whole life actually not. But there came a point, by faith, he became a part of the true family of Abraham, a family in which these Galatians, the church, the Christians in Asia, these Gentile believers are. Now, that doesn't mean that there was never any Old Testament Jews that did not have faith like this. I think I gave you an example in Isaac and Jacob. You can follow on through Solomon, David, Samuel, Rahab. I was a Gentile, I understand. But turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. I want you to see that those who were truly of the seed of Abraham, both physically and spiritually, had faith. Turn to 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy is going to be to your right. All the books that start with a T are there together. 2 Timothy, you know, comes after 1 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3. Here Paul is writing to his beloved child in the faith. I want you to just listen to how he's described as a true believer. What combines him or brings him to be a part of this family? 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 3. Paul says this: I thank God, whom I serve, as did my ancestors, with a clear conscience, as I remember you, Timothy, constantly in my prayers, night and day. As I remember your tears, I long to see you that I may be filled with joy. I am reminded of your, this is where I'm going, sincere faith. A faith that dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice. And now I am sure that this faith dwells in you as well. So the link that he celebrates is not that your mommy and her mommy were good Jews by ethnic descent, or that they kept the rules. What you have in common with them that we can call a family is that you are a family of faith. So Paul here connecting himself even to his ancestors, his own ancestors, of the faith. Those who in Old Testament Israel saw and longed for the day of Jesus Christ. So turn back to our Galatians text, Galatians 3, verse 7. Know then, it is those of faith who are the sons of Abraham. So another thing that probably I should say that I could have glossed over, and when you read that text, it looks like it's just the boys. It's just the men that can be a part of the family of God. If this is your first time reading the Bible, we don't believe that only men can be children of God. Only men can be saved. This is shorthand for sons and daughters, men and women who made up the churches, chapter 1, verse 2, of Galatia. So if sons and daughters can become a part of the family of God by faith, and this is such a sweet thing, we ought to look for evidence of this and commend one another for their faith. That's why it's such a sweet thing to call your brothers in Christ brothers or sisters. Do you see that? We don't take that for granted. We don't say that lightly at Bethany Baptist Church, to call someone brother, sister. Why are we sisters and brothers? Not because we have the same mommy and daddy, ethnically speaking, and it's not even because we have all done something, but it's because we have faith in Christ. This is perhaps the holy kiss that Paul was talking about at the end of many of his epistles. Greet one another in the church with a holy kiss. I don't know if you kiss your family members. I don't anymore, at least. But we do greet those who are of the faith family as brothers and sisters. It's a special thing. Now, I want you just to look a little longer at verse 7. It is those who are of faith who are the sons and daughters of Abraham. This means something important for everybody in the room this morning. You are not a part of the family you need to be a part of until you yourself, as an individual, have personal saving faith in Christ. Do you see that? You cannot be saved because your mommy and daddy have faith. You must have faith. Okay, I love my children, and they will always be my children in this life. But moms and dads, don't we long for them to become children of the Heavenly Father, to be born again by the Spirit, not by works of the flesh, but by faith in Christ. Faith, sons and daughters, truly, of Abraham. Do you have that? What about you parents who when I pray through the directory every week, I grieve with you because you have grown children who grew up in church and you shared the gospel with and you read the Bible with and they have rejected Christ. I grieve with you. But let me encourage you. You did the best you could. It's not your fault. Do you see that each person will be judged for their own acceptance or rejection of faith in Christ? Do you see that you cannot make your children to be saved? They must have faith. So I continue to pray that they would have faith, but I just want you to see that. Faith is not something you can give to someone or you can force or something that you will be blamed because you didn't get it in them. Now, we should raise our children up in the fear and admonition of the Lord, but it is those who have personal faith. Each and every child, young or grown, black or white, Jew or Gentile, must have faith in Christ. It is those of faith who are the sons of Abraham. Maybe one more application, just as we watch world history, as we watch the news, let's be careful about how we talk about those who are Jews in the flesh or modern day Israel. Okay, we can't look and just say, look, those are the sons of Abraham. That's God's people. We need to be careful here. The text would tell us that the true sons of Abraham are those who are of faith. Do you see that? In the same way, Isaac, not Ishmael. Jacob, not Esau. Okay, so we want to love all our neighbors. We want to pray for peace in every country. And we pray that all would come to faith in Christ. Who are the sons of Abraham? Remember this text. It is those who are of faith. That is the family of God. And there will be many on the last day who will come from the Jews, from the biological descent of Abraham, I sure hope and believe, because of their faith in Christ. Maybe last question in verse 7 again. Are you a part of the family, the true family of Abraham? Do you have personal faith in Christ? This is what unites you to Abraham and all the blessings we'll hear about in just a moment. So verse 7, the children. Now verse 8, notice the shift to the scriptures. He's continuing his argument, but he's bolstering it. He's defending it. He's countering the opponents by the scriptures. Look at verse 8. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham, saying, in you shall all the nations be blessed. So before I unpack what he's saying, just notice where he goes. You understand the difference there? I'm going to tell you what the scriptures say, but just notice where he goes to win the argument, to clear up the unclear things. he goes to Scripture. And notice how he personifies it. To go to Scripture is to go to what God would say, is to go what God is saying. Do you see the personification? The Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles. The Scripture, second clause there, preach the gospel beforehand. The Scriptures are how we know what God thinks. What God not has just said, but what he is saying to us. Notice how he goes there. This is how we know what we believe to be true. Because of the Scriptures. And he believes that those who are true children of Abraham will hear his word. They will abide in his word. It will find place in their heart because they recognize the voice of the great shepherd. They recognize the voice of their creator. Do you go to the Scriptures to settle all disputes? Do you go to the Scriptures to determine your priorities, your goals, what is right and wrong? See how before we talk about what he says, look where he goes. Now, also consider this. One of the commentators points out, last week, in verses 1 through 5 of chapter 3, he appealed to the experience of the Galatian Christians. He says, you are children of Abraham. You are children of faith. You know because you received the Spirit. You felt the indwelling of the Spirit. It cries, Abba, Father. You're walking in newness of life. You love Christ. So he appealed to their personal experience. Which is not always a bad thing, but it is subjective. That's not his trump card, what you feel about God or what you've experienced. It never is. It's not the trump card. The final say is the Scripture. So you see that, how they work here together. They're not against each other, but the feelings, the personal experience of the Galatians is only valid if it agrees with what Scripture says. Do you see that? So the subjective and the objective, they're not against each other, but this one is lesser than this one, and this one is only validated by this one. In fact, the rest of chapter 3 is a biblical argument from various cases and times and chapters and books to prove their experience is valid, not invalid. Okay, so he goes to the Scriptures in verse 8. He's going to quote Galatians 12 and he's going to quote Genesis 12 and Genesis 15. But he goes to the Scriptures. Now, one of the reasons why he goes to the Scriptures is because the false teachers also had their Scriptures. Okay, so remember these Judaizers that came in? They weren't just like blowing up church youth groups saying, no, you got to be circumcised because we got this tradition that you have to be circumcised. Oh, no, they had Scripture. They had verses in the same Bible. They had Genesis 17 memorized. Everyone in Abraham's family had to be circumcised. If you were not circumcised, you were cut off from the people of God. In fact, have we told you about the story about when the brothers of Jacob wanted to get all the bad guys? They told them they had to be circumcised if they were going to marry Dinah and have her as their wife. And so they tricked them all into getting circumcised, and they went in and killed them while they were laid up and sore. See, circumcision is such a serious thing. They had Scripture. I say this because maybe so far, throughout the book of Galatians, I've created some kind of straw man that these Judaizers were just crazy people who made up things. No, they were very clever teachers of tradition and of the Bible. Let me show you. Go back to Genesis chapter 17. They would have known this. They would have memorized it and preached it. It would have come out in every sermon as the proof. You must be circumcised in order to be a part of the family of Abraham. You must be circumcised or you are not accounted righteous. So look at this. It's a reminder too that most heresies don't just come from strange random beliefs, but Scripture out of context, Scripture twisted, Scripture emphasized incorrectly. Genesis chapter 17, verse 9. It's on page 12, if you're one of those brave folks that are following us along with us in your copy of God's Word. Genesis chapter 17, verse 9. They would have loved this. They would have preached this. This would have been their favorite message, maybe. Look at verse 9. And God said to Abraham, as for you, you shall keep my covenant, you and your offspring after you throughout their generations. This is my covenant, which you shall keep between me and you and your offspring, that's family, after you. Every male among you shall be circumcised. You shall be circumcised in the flesh of your foreskins, and it shall be a sign of the covenant between me and you. He who is 8 days old among you shall be circumcised, every single male throughout your generations, whether born in your house or bought with your money, from any foreigner who is not of your offspring. Verse 13, both he who is born of your house and he who is bought with your money shall surely be circumcised. So shall my covenant be in your flesh, an everlasting covenant. Any uncircumcised male who is not circumcised in the flesh of his foreskin shall be cut off from his people. He has broken my covenant. See, God says. So remember, they're blowing up this Baptist church in Galatia. Tell your children to stop singing the song unless they've been circumcised. They need to be kicked out of church. They are not yet a part of the people of God. See, we have scripture. They must be cut off. You Galatians are rejecting circumcision. You must be circumcised or you're not a part of the people of God. Why do I take time to point this out? Because they had scripture. But they didn't understand that scripture in the big picture. They had forgotten over time that Genesis 17 came after Genesis 15, came after Genesis 12. So you go back with me to before. This is how Paul's argument is going in live time with them in the letter. I'm just explaining to you some of it because maybe you don't know it as well. Last week, he quoted Genesis chapter 15, which came at least several years before circumcision. Look at Genesis chapter 15, verse 5. God brought Abraham outside and said, "Look toward heaven and number the stars, if you are able to number them." Then he said to him, "So shall your offspring be," or your children, or your family. And look what it says. And he believed the Lord, and it was counted to him as righteousness. Okay, so just already stop right there. The Galatians are insisting, the Judaizers, that you must be circumcised or you're not right with God. Look what he's saying. Abraham was already declared righteous before circumcision had been invented, before he even sharpened his knife, before he even had Isaac to circumcise him. His righteousness came before accounted righteous. That was last week's verse 6 in Galatians. But go all the way back to Genesis chapter 12. From the very inception of Abraham's family, Abraham's faith, notice that this promise of blessing to the nations came before the covenant of circumcision. Genesis chapter 12, verse 1. Now the Lord said to Abraham, "Go from your country and your kindred, and your father's house to the land that I will show you. I will make of you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse." And here it is. "And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." So, now that you've seen that with me taking you long form back to Genesis, now go to our text in Galatians 3, 7 and 8. He is saying, you false teachers, you liars and deceivers, you are emphasizing something that happened way down the road after Abraham, our father, was declared righteous and was given the promise of people to come from him and receive the same blessings. That's what he's quoting in Galatians 3, 8. We'll look at it one more time. And the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles or the nations, how? By faith. You see, it couldn't be by circumcision because that went until several years later. This justification, this righteousness that anyone in this room can have comes by faith. He goes on to quote the Genesis passage. He preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham saying, "In you shall all the nations be blessed." Okay, so if you don't understand exactly how all those things lay together, let me just make the broader point here. This is how we should read our Bible. We don't take verses out of context to justify one thing we're really, really proud of or one thing we want to emphasize. We must know how circumcision relates to justification by faith, even in the Old Testament, and how the promise of the Gentiles to be a part of Abraham's family was through the promise, not them being circumcised. The order of events matters. Do you see that? And the bigger story of what is being told. How do you read your Bible? Do you just read one verse here or there? Do you read it in its context? Do you understand it's part in the greater story? So you read even in the order in which it was intended to be read to see God's plan unfolding. The problem with these Judaizers is that they really like chapter 17 and began to, over time, think that Abraham was saved by his works rather than his faith. You know how we know this? Because one of the extra biblical famous Jewish books, First Maccabees, over time began to say this. Listen to 1 Maccabees 2:52. The Judaizers would love this passage. This might have been one of the things they were teaching. They said this: "Was not Abraham found faithful when tested, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness?" Did you hear that? They interpreted the events of Abraham. Look, he sacrificed his son, or started to. He circumcised his family on the eighth day. It was what he did that caused him to be counted righteous. And here it is in their writings. But Paul takes away their tradition, takes away their feelings, and says it doesn't matter what that says, because before Genesis 17 was Genesis 15. And before Genesis 15 was Genesis 12. Abraham was saved by his faith, not by how he completed his works and did what was right in God's eyes. Tradition is not always bad, but tradition can be a bad thing when it goes against Scripture, when it contradicts Scripture, when it reinterprets Scripture in a dangerous way. So, verse 7, the children. Verse 8, the Scriptures. Maybe two more things to consider about the Scriptures here in verse 7, or verse 8, if you will. I talked about the personification of the Scriptures as being alive and active and speaking what God would say. Notice here, too, that the gospel that we are believing in the New Testament is not something new. It was foresaw. It was preached beforehand. You see those words? The Scripture foreseeing preached the gospel beforehand to Abraham. It's a reminder that the gospel and our salvation is not plan B. It was plan A from the beginning. The same way that we are saved today is the exact same way that everyone who was saved in the Old Testament was saved. We are saved looking back to the Messiah crucified for us. Everyone before Jesus was saved looking forward to what was told beforehand, what was foreseen beforehand to Christ's coming, the Messiah to be crucified. So that we are a part of the same family of the true descendants of Abraham because of faith in Christ. Same gospel, same family, same way to be reconciled to God, our sins atoned for, and to be declared righteous. Maybe one more quick thing to point out. So much here in verse 8. Maybe twice we see it here. Notice Abraham's called Abraham. If you know your Old Testament story, he was first Abe, and then became Abraham. The ham added on the end is many nations. Because he wasn't just the father, he was going to be the father of many nations. And going on in verse 8, "And you shall all the nations be blessed." So God's intention was that from Abraham, or faith like his, God would save people not just in the Jewish race, physical descendants of Abraham, but people from all the nations. All the nations. The UAE, South Africa, Armenia, Georgia, the Netherlands, Mexico, every country, all the nations. This was God's intention. Not that Abraham be the father of a nation, but all the nations who would come to faith in Christ like he had. So this is why we believe in missions. You heard us giving towards missions. You heard us praying that God would bless missions. You heard us praying that even God would raise up missionaries here that would go to other nations and other people. Not that everybody can find their own way to God and all the nations. No, this is not some universalism. Every nation or people from every nation that will be saved must come to a point where they hear the gospel that was preached beforehand or the gospel that is preached now and be saved. There are not many ways to God. There is one, the gospel of Jesus Christ. gospel of Jesus Christ. Friends, does Scripture confirm you are a part of this family? I asked if you're a part of this family because you have faith, but does your understanding of Scripture rightly divided what you believe about the gospel, about how people are saved in the Old Testament, how they're saved in the New Testament, in faith like Abraham's, in faith in the coming Messiah? You are a part of the family. Listen to this. Again, I started with Jesus in verse 7, but now here in verse 8, listen to how Jesus talks about the true family of Abraham. That from beforehand, even when he first heard the gospel, he was hoping in Jesus to come. Some of these Judaizers that Paul is arguing against were probably some of the people around Jesus when he was in the masses of John 8. Listen to what Jesus says to these other descendants of Abraham that don't have faith. John chapter 8, I'm just going to kind of bring a couple of verses here together. Don't have time to read all. Jesus says, "I know that you are the offspring of Abraham, yet you seek to kill me because my word finds no place in you. I speak of what I've seen with my father, and you do what you have heard from your father. If you were truly Abraham's children, you would be doing the works that Abraham did. But now you seek to kill me, a man who has told you the truth that I heard from God. This is not what Abraham did. You are doing the works your father did." They said to him, "We are not born of sexual immorality. We have one father, even God." Jesus said to them, "If God were your father, you would love me. For I came from God and I am here. I came not of my own accord, but he sent me. Why do you not understand what I say? It is because you cannot bear to hear my word. You are of your father, the devil, and your will is to do your father's desire. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks out of his own character, for he is a liar and the father of lies. But because I tell the truth, you don't believe me. Which one of you convicts me of sin? If I tell the truth, why do you not believe me? Whoever is of God hears the words of God." That's why I spent so much time on verse 8. Jesus says this, "Your father, Abraham, rejoiced that he would see my day. He saw it and was glad." So he's saying the true children of Abraham, just like Abraham, they foresaw what the scriptures foresaw, that Jesus would come, that he would be our righteousness, not by circumcision or works of law or by ethnic descent. But Abraham longed for my day. He would have loved to have met me like this. He believed in me, though he did not yet fully understand who I was and how I'd be crucified. But he rejoiced that he would see my day. He saw it from a distance and was glad. Do you see that? Jesus, he's telling them they're not truly children of Abraham, because if they were, they would love him like Abraham loved him. That's why he gets the phrase or the preposition, "In you shall all the nations be blessed." John 8 is a great passage to study more on your own time. But we must move on to verse 9. So far, family, by faith, we have the children, the scriptures, and now verse 9, the blessings. Notice how Paul brings his argument in the sub part of Galatians to close. Verse 9, "So then, those who are of faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith." So he's saying, you want all the blessings of Abraham? You want the precious promises? You only get that if you're a part of him by faith. Not by circumcision, not by ethnic descent. Does anybody catch the jab he's making at the Judaizers? He's not only saying you are not really children of Abraham, you are not blessed. You stand under curse. You don't have the blessing. You don't have the Spirit. You don't know God personally. You're actually still of the devil. You're of Adam. You have not been born again. There's a jab there. He's talking to the Galatians, but through them against the Judaizers or anybody in Galatia who would think that they're saved by their works or their circumcision instead of faith. "So then those who are of faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith." Now, if the Judaizers that Paul was addressing tried to say that we are saved by works like circumcision instead of faith, there's a false movement in modern day churches that does something wrong with this text. They look at this and say that if you have faith like Abraham, The blessing is that you get land on this earth like Abraham. The blessing is that you'll be rich like Abraham. The blessing is that you'll live long and prosperous and you'll be healthy. Friends, this is called the prosperity gospel. That if you just have enough faith, you can be rich like Creflo Dollar and have mansions like Joel Osteen. But friends, that is not the blessing of Abraham that Paul is talking about. Did Abraham get those things? Yes. But that's not the blessing it's talking about. Search. I did it this week. Read Galatians. Where does he promise the Galatians you're going to have a big, happy biological family, and you're going to never miscarry, and you're going to have all kinds of money, and you're going to have all kinds of riches, and you'll never get sick if you'll just have faith? Friends, that is not the blessing, the greatest blessing of Abraham. If the Judaizers were the false teachers of their days, this is one of the false teachers of our days, that this is the blessing. What is the blessing? Search Galatians front to back. That is not the blessing. The blessing is that we would be called righteous, that we would be called children of God, that we would know Him, that we'd be reconciled to Him, that we receive the promised Spirit. Look at verse 14. So that in Christ Jesus, the blessing of Abraham might come to the Gentiles, so that we might receive the promised Spirit through faith. Friends, this is a better blessing than houses and riches or your best life now. This is eternal life. This is the down payment of redemption between us and our Creator, whom we have sinned against. This is the blessing. To be called a part of the family of God, to be a member of a local church, to partake of the Lord's Supper, to partake of baptism, to be a part of the family of God. This justification, sanctification, glorification, better blessings, eternal blessings, not just in the life to come, but in this life now. Last thing I want you to see as we speak about the blessings is notice how Abraham is described in verse 9. So then, those who are of faith are blessed along with Abraham, the man of faith. Look at how he's described there. Even there is a reminder of how you will be blessed, or what it means to be a part of the family of God. He's not described as the athletic man, the rich man, the circumcised man, the smart man, the businessman. He's described, as the NSB says, the believing man. The believing man. Could that be said about you? The believing woman. The believing young lady. The believing young man. That you'd be blessed along with Abraham. I hope that's the legacy we want to leave behind for our children. Not, man, daddy was really athletic. Daddy really knew how to make a dollar. Daddy really knows how to work hard. But the legacy he left behind for us was that he was a believing man. Why is this significant? Because he was saved before he had ever had a child. He was saved before he had ever circumcised that child. He was saved before he had ever been willing to sacrifice that child. It wasn't anything that he would do that would make him right before God. But he was saved. He was justified because he was a believing man. A faithing man. Question for you and I is, will that be said of us? Have we received the blessing along with him? The blessing that only comes by justification through faith, not works of the flesh or what we could do. The question is, can you sing that song that we sang as little children at Ashland Avenue Baptist Church? Father Abraham had many sons, and many sons had Father Abraham, and I am one of them. And I so hope you are. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for your word. If it were not for it, we would not know how to be a part of your family. we would settle for lesser blessings instead of the greatest blessing. We would hope in our works. We would try to accomplish salvation on our own. But we thank you that you have given us the blessing of righteousness and eternal life poured out fully by faith in your gospel. Help us to rejoice in that even now as we sing and prepare to take the Lord's Supper. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.